Welcome, everyone, to another episode of LPF Debrief, where Chris and I talk about comic books, movies, and TV shows. And on today's episode, we will be discussing episode 7 of The Last of Us, exclusively on HBO Max. You can't get it anywhere else. It's the only place you can watch it. So get it, watch it, like it, love it, do all that good stuff. This episode was titled Left Behind, and it is directed by Liza Johnson. This one was actually written by Neil himself, this episode. Not that he
has DeGrasse Tyson?
No. You know, you knew exactly what I was talking about, okay? So he wrote this episode, and it makes a lot of sense because this episode had a major theme of people, and maybe a lot of people didn't play this because we know a lot of people don't play DLCs. I was addicted to Last of Us, so I 100% played this, and I thought the way they did this was really cool, but before we get into any of that, there will be spoilers ahead, guys, so if you guys don't want to hear any other spoilers, please go ahead, and there's probably going to be game spoilers and the TV show spoilers, so pause it. If you don't want to hear any of those, then go ahead and do your thing, and then come on back and let us know what you guys thought of the episode. So
get on in here.
Yeah, then get on in here so we could tell you what we thought about the episode. So episode 7, we start off with Joel. You know, he's been cut deep, okay? And we've seen the blood.
He ain't doing so hot.
Yeah, we see the blood getting trailed over, and we're trying to obviously figure out what's happening. Where is he at? Is he dead? They gave us a lot of suspense, except the people who had already played the game and clearly knew Joel wasn't dead. So, not saying he won't, you know, in this episode, you never know. I'm just saying, at that point, you never know. So we see him and Ellie, he's really trying to shrug off Ellie, saying, Ellie, like, get away from me. Like, you know what I mean? Leave. But you can see what we talked about in the last episode, how strong that bond is now, right? Because Joel is not saying this in a sense of, like, he really wants her to go. He's just in pain and he feels like that's the safest way. But he also has that inside of him where he's like, I knew, like, this is what I was trying to avoid. Like, you know what I mean? Because he wanted the younger person to go with her, right? Like, mm-hmm. The person he felt was going to be better to protect her. And of course, now he's in the situation that he was trying to avoid.
Could you imagine him? He's like, Ellie, lean in. And he grabs her and he's like, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? And then you picked me, huh? This is what happened. This is what we get. I told you.
Yeah,
but is it bad for me that when I see him, right, whenever I saw him and he has like the murmurs and everything, he's like, you know, can't really get the words out or anything like that. It's like, man, she's been bit twice. Get up.
Yeah. Well, I think the bites are way different than a stabbing.
I know, but it's just one of like the wound itself, whenever you look at it, mm-hmm. like whenever they zoom in on it, it doesn't look as bad. He definitely played it pretty well
We also don't know what if anything got punctured or anything like that, so that's usually what
that's all right. But I mean whenever you said you know, not many people probably played the DLC, I am one of them, so I will have questions.
Yes.
Or if you want to compare anything, because I don't even know if everything was canon, if the whole crush sequence, like her first crush, all that stuff, like I didn't know. So, if it was like shot for shot.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But for sure, we see that he does that. And then I thought the way that they brought us to said episode of basically giving us Ellie before any of this, right? Like her being raised in an AZ. Basically, I thought it was really cool. And it makes even more sense when you get to the end of the episode, because this episode was shot really well, and like the whole idea behind the episode is so awesome, because as Ellie's going upstairs after Joel tells her to leave, we need you, like he's like, go, I don't want you here, basically. So, and then we see the tear in his eye, like he actually doesn't want this to be what's happening, right? But it's the situation he's in. He wants to protect her more than ever now, and he feels like it's better if she just goes back up north to Tommy. Either Tommy can come back for him, or, you know, maybe that's not what he's thinking, but he just wants her to be safe, and he just cares about her safety, and he's willing to just stay and die in a basement for her safety, right? So as Ellie is going, upstairs to try to find some help or whatever the thing she's looking for, we go into a flashback. And I thought this was a perfect way of doing it, opposed to like making it actually the episode where obviously it's already happened. So it's really cool that she kind of has this flashback in a moment of where she's like in the easy, basically seeing, we see her life before she met Joel, before she was, everything was broken out. So I thought they did that really, really well. And yeah, getting into that episode was tough because that was a hard episode to get into. As far as like, not that it was a bad way. I'm just saying like, cause I knew what was going to happen and I knew what, how the ending outcome of this episode was going to be. And I was like, damn it. Why am I putting myself through this again? Cause I don't understand why I keep doing this every week. Every week I turn it on in excitement expecting, oh yeah, this is going to be great. And it's not, it's just,
I've been doing palate cleansers after the episodes, like, so I don't get like too depressed. I'm like, I gotta watch something happen. Like, you got, I can't, to, like, I'm like, as we get older, it's so much easier for me to get into those slumps where I'm like, man, I don't feel like doing nothing.
Yeah.
Anymore. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Even warm,
yeah. So it's one of those episodes where it's definitely a lot to take in, but the way, like I said, with the way that it was shot, everything was everything was great. We see Ellie being bullied. We get signs of who Riley is from, you know, Bethany, who's basically like bothering Ellie for no reason, of course. And it's just, you know, teenagers being teenagers, raised in this area. She's trying to pick on them, trying to assert their dominance and all that good stuff. And shout out to them showing a Walkman, which I had one of those back in the day, you know, dating myself. Little tapes is what we used to listen to things on.
Never had.
Yeah, yeah. We had a
cassette player in the house, but we didn't have. I don't think my parents wanted to get me a. No, yeah, nobody.
No. I think it was past that time. By the time you like, it'd have been past the phase of.
Yeah, but my parents also didn't have, like, I'm saying, my dad and my mom didn't have one either. Mm-hmm. It was like the entertainment system was in the house, and the only time they listened to music was for like parties and stuff like that. But also the product placement, you know, they made sure.
Hey,
the Sony name.
And I can guarantee you, if those Walkmans were a certain price beforehand, they are at least a double the price right now, because there's going to be people looking for Walkmans.
You think they're gonna come back? Because I feel like we've seen Walkmans more. I can't remember where else I saw one.
Well,
Star Lord.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
the thing is, you're not bringing tape back. It's inefficient. If people want to use it, then go be my guest. But
all my old teachers would riot. They'd be like, absolutely not. Yeah. I'm not recording any music in this.
Flipping the seat, flipping tapes and all that. No, it's inefficient. And you don't want to go back to that. It's a nice collector's item, though. And I think that's what their value would be in. But besides that, you're not listening. We're listening to music the most efficient way we possibly can. Like, it doesn't take up storage on your phone. It's literally being streamed, you know.
Especially now that it's like, side note, sorry, we're going off a tangent. But especially now with the whole lossless and like the uncompressed and all that stuff, it's pretty cool. Yeah. But anyway.
But basically, we see what Ellie's going through. Basically gets into a fight. We see the... she's being told, hey, there's only two people who live in this world. Like, you know what I mean? You could be the person who's in the sewer rats and all this stuff, or you can be an officer and telling people how to live. And we know that that's going to be kind of a foreshadow for the episode, right? And a lot of the stuff that they did prior to them getting to where they get to was a lot of precursors. Because if you remember, when Ellie does get back to her room, you see a bunch of posters, you see a bunch of things that she's into, and it starts to make sense. We see a big Mortal Kombat 2 poster, very good product replace. And honestly, I was thinking how smart HBO and WB are, because HBO and WB are basically like, you know, the same network, right? So their Discovery is the same network. So actually putting Mortal Kombat, like the poster in there, cost them nothing because it's part of their product. So I thought that was really cool that they were just like, oh yeah, like what else games were popular back then? Like, you know what I mean? And putting that in there. So I thought that was really cool. that they did it, I was like, yeah, that's dope. Like, let us see what's going on here. And then, yeah, so we see that basically then Riley comes in, who is played by the amazing Storm Reid. She is fantastic in pretty much everything that she's in. And she was, again, fantastic in this. But you could instantly see the friendship, the relationship that they've already had when she comes in, especially just like how she basically, Riley was like knowing exactly what Ellie was going to say. She was like, I need you to come with me. I know you're going to say no, but then you're going to say yes.
And
then
but also that beginning part where she like, you know, why the hell would you sneak up on me? She's like, I thought it'd be funny. Yeah. I was like, I wish a friend would try to prank me like that.
My thing is though, not even in a non-apocalyptic world would that be funny.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like the first thing you do is cover my mouth.
Yeah.
No. I'm gonna think I'm getting kidnapped.
Yeah, and you're probably gonna get sliced. She's lucky she didn't get sliced because Ellie was ready. You know what I mean? But I thought that was really cool. Just how she was like, you're gonna say no, and then you're gonna say yes. But basically, Riley gives out that information saying that, you know, she's part of the Fireflies, or has become part of the Fireflies. That part was not in the game. At least I don't remember it like being said like that. But and the part where basically they were like together beforehand wasn't the thing either. That was kind of something that they that they kind of met up, I think. I want to say that, but I could be wrong. I just know like the meat of potatoes is when we get inside of the mall is when I know like the exact story of how everything transpired. But basically, she says, hey, I need to take you to a place, you know what I mean? Because she has some information that she wants to tell her. She doesn't know that yet, but it's about to happen. And then we see the mall. And for everyone who has played the DLC, you know that that's where the main point of this story is going to take place for everything that was pre when Ellie meets Joel.
And so whenever you do the DLC, you start in the mall.
You're starting like to get to the mall, and you start playing in the mall. And so we see this mall. I love how they made it, how they turned it into this for the show, though. How it became this spectacular thing, this thing that we don't even care for malls anymore, right? Like, and it's a very like ordinary, mundane kind of thing. But to see how Ellie's reaction towards a mall being like all lit up and all that stuff was like, dang, like
I'm a sucker for that, man. Cause even in Stranger Things, that retro mall, look, like the season where it all took place in the mall.
Yeah.
I was like, man, this is so cool.
It was cool
though. Well, I mean like the look of the mall. Yeah. Mm-hmm. that first shot when they light up everything, I was like, this is, I like the post apocalyptic, I'm a sucker for that whenever there's electricity. Like anytime they go into a building or any like streetwise and they go find the generator, always in the back of my head, I was like, please work, because it looks so cool with like the overgrown buildings and everything with the lights coming on. That's it's a beautiful look to me. So
yeah, and then the sound and everything like just coming on and everything finally like working and stuff like that. And you know, just, and then of course Ellie being able to be a kid again, right? Like we get to see her be a child and be someone like, you know what I mean? For like, be like, dang, like being wowed away. And to even to the point to where she's excited about an escalator because she has never seen an escalator before, which is like, you know what I mean? Really cool. Cause she's like going down and she's like, what is this amazing contraption? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is this thing that is allowing me to do all this? Right. So, I thought her doing that and just showing that off was really cool, like just her being able to again be a kid again. And then just now they're, the whole goal is to, there, she's going to take her around the mall, which is what you do in the DLC also. The DLC, you actually go to all of the point, like different parts of the mall, and then the story just kind of unfolds kind of like what it did in this in this episode right here. So the next place that they go to, they see the they go to the next place. Which one was it again? The
carousel?
Yeah, no. I think there was something before the carousel. They had that really funny moment with the with the Victoria's Secret.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And then, but basically you can see also while that's happening, both of them kind of testing the waters, right? Like,
yes.
She's like, kind of seeing like, yeah. Does she like, cause you know, you, and especially, you know, in their sense where it's like, they've been friends for, you know, they're considering themselves best friends. It's like, if she's not feeling me this way, like this could potentially ruin it. So you can see how cautious both of them are being, but also the fact that their age, right? Like at that age, we're very like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of scared. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you could see the nervous vibes kind of thing going with them. They do the photo shoot, the photo booth pictures, which was
that I remember from, yeah. Like, I remember seeing when the game was advertised. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You saw the photo strip and yeah. everything like that.
And then that was cool. Yeah, they just doing cool things in the photos. And I mean, like I said, overall, the like just taking this journey with these kids being kids, right? And then but the carousel thing where they're having a good time on the carousel, just, you know, doing all those kind of things. And then we get to the arcade where they're playing. She's like, is this the most beautiful thing I've ever seen? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, even seeing arcades now, I'm like, damn, I could just have a room like this. It would be amazing. So like, I get that feeling. Like, I know the feeling she's getting where she's, but also, you know, Ellie's like one of the things that they said at the end of the episode where, you know, when they do like the things is like, just imagine, you know, Ellie seeing all these things in like magazines and posters on her wall and stuff like that. And then finally being able to play the things that she's been seeing this whole time. I thought that was just like really well said, just to direct that. And then Bella Ramsey just showing off that emotion of being like, yo, like, this is insane. Like, I've never seen anything like this. Like, I just saw an escalator for the first time. And now I'm seeing a whole place with just a bunch of arcades and like games I can play. So, overall,
you see that too whenever she's playing the game too. Yeah. Like whenever she doesn't know how to move, she's just doing the punching
button.
And when she does, whenever she's like, oh yeah, use the joystick.
Yeah.
Like you see her like just kind of pat it once. Like, yeah. Okay. She's mm-hmm. not sitting there like we would normally do it. So it was pretty cool. She did a great job of like, I've never seen this thing before, even though she probably I feel like it's hard to play the innocent type. Like, I feel like it's a hard role to play of like, you know what a mall looks like. You've been mm-hmm. on an escalator, you know, you've seen a plane, you've done this, you've done that. I feel like it's hard to really show that you don't know. Like, it's believable. It's really believable. Like, she has no idea
yeah.
what this is or what any of it is. And I think she did a great job portraying that, especially during that scene. That was one of my favorite scenes to watch her. Like, I don't understand what's going on. I know what this game is because yeah. I've read about it, but it's
yeah, I'm playing it for the first time.
I never thought I'd be in front of it. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And just the whole thing with Riley putting in the inputs for fatalities and stuff like that. Like, I love that they took their time with that kind of stuff. But also, let's be honest, most people's first time playing a fighting game, that's exactly what they do anyway. They start button mashing, they start moving everything around. And, you know, there's plenty of memes where people make a bunch of fun of that. But it's true.
I'm sure if Black Magic was here, he'd say that's what you do.
No, he can't beat me in anything.
I got you.
I got you, so Black Magic. If he's listening, he already knows he can't beat me in no fighting game. Street Fighter in June, just saying. But anyway, yeah, so it was awesome to see that. But of course, just like every good thing in The Last of Us, it means something bad's going to happen. And we see what they were feared to be. Not a full bunch of affected, just one. Usually, that's all it takes is just one.
So, and it was in the freaking doll store, man. I hate those dolls.
Yeah.
I hate them. I hate them, hate them, hate them. My mom had a whole bunch of them. Yeah. They freaked me out. So whenever they started panning in mm-hmm. and I saw the first doll, I was like, of course it's in there.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be in there?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It would be like, so it was, you know, a cool moment just to, and that's the thing that they do so well in this show is that they get you lost in the good moments, right? You're like, mm-hmm. we're having a good time with them, right? We're like, oh, this is awesome. Like, they're having a good time. Everything's going to end the way it's supposed to be. Like, you know what I mean? And you kind of, you forget, right? Because you're so like oh, look at them having a good time in this world. Like, you're happy for like Ellie just being able to be doing her thing, being a kid again. And then you're like, oh yeah, there's nothing like can happen here. Like they said, there's no infected in here. So like, you know what I mean? There's nothing can go wrong. And then of course you see the gasp it takes, and then you're like, damn it. See, now I thought though that it was going to be one of those where, you know how they foreshadowed at the beginning that like, you know, when something happens, when you get in, when an infected shows up, or like if they, you know, it's like a hive.
Like a horde. Yeah. I thought that too.
So, and the reason why I thought that also was because in the game, you fight a whole horde of what you call it, of them coming into the mall. So I was prepared for that scene. And I was like, I don't know how they're going to do it, because that shit was hard in the game. Like, you know what I mean? Because you had to like literally just a whole horde of them. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And it was just like, what am I going to do here? So.
And it makes sense that it's one though in this one, because she's been, I mean, she wasn't staying in the mall in the game, was she?
No.
Was she living in the mall? No,
I think she was like always around the mall. Riley was. I need to replay that or at least rewatch it, because I don't like, like I said, I just remember the main parts of it. Not like, you know what I mean? Obviously like the puns part was all true. Like her giving her the puns book. That's where she gets it from. Actually the cause they were all into puns, and I thought it was hilarious when they did the screenshot one and she was like, what is that?
What's
like,
I don't know. Yeah,
like just them having no idea what some of the future stuff is, was really funny. But it was just one of those things where it's just like, you know, it was a whole horde. That's what I thought was going to happen. I thought a whole horde was going to show up. But like you said, I thought it was perfect to just do one anyway, because like it's unreal. Like in a game, it's fine, right? Like fighting a bunch of enemies, you know, cause I even think the Fedra, comes into the mall too at some point. And then like, cause you're also fighting humans at one point in that DLC too. So, it makes a lot of sense, because like only one infected is going to be a lot harder in a real world than it is in a game where we two kids, you know, whatever.
I mean, I still have an issue that she was stationed by herself. That was a little bit in the back of my head of like, whatever. Yeah.
But I think, again, a lot of them are getting pulled at that age, because that's who, you know what I mean? And I remember, if you remember, they were trained, like they were getting military trained. Like Ellie was getting military trained. Like, you know what I mean? Because they're in a military base. So it makes sense why they would have like start pulling them younger, you know, especially because they're probably, you know, more agile. It's, you know, a lot of thing. But yeah, it is difficult because the mindset, right? Because what she did was completely irresponsible to go get Ellie, right? Like that, all of it was like not what you're supposed to do. So, so to your point, the age thing. Yeah, in some points it benefits, but in some like decision making in this situation, you're like, I don't think that was a smart idea. But she did. She genuinely thought it was clear, right? So, so that happens. Basically, you know, they go to the is it the music store? No. They go to
the Halloween store.
Is it the Halloween one before when they have the argument?
Oh no, they had the argument in the it's like a restaurant. Like
yeah.
A food court. Cause she's like, oh the nachos. Tacos.
Yes, tacos. Like yeah. Perfect. Tacos. Yeah. And she's like, oh, is it tacos? And she was like, before she gives her the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, is it tacos? She's like, no. There's no food here. Like, of course it's not tacos. Even though I don't blame her. Like, come on. You see a nacho stand, you're hoping there's some tacos there. That'd be a good gift. So she goes in there, and then Ellie sees the bombs and all that stuff. And one of their major talking points before any of that happened was like, you know, you're going around bombing, like, you know, the Fireflies are going around bombing places where, you know, civilians and innocent people are, you know, trying to tackle down Fedra and stuff like that. And Riley was trying to convince Ellie, like, it would never happen to them. Like, I would never allow that. Etc. But like the point that Ellie brings up that's really smart is like, well, you can't stop them. Like, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, clearly you're not going
to
be able
to listen to you. Yeah. Like, no, that's my friend.
Well, yeah. Well, this is the place that needs to get popped off. And I'm sure the Fireflies try to, but that, you know, there's going to be casualties, right? So it's something that you kind of have to accept with that comes with the territory. And it's a brutal thing because both of them feel like they're right. Right. Like Ellie's like, look, like I get what you want to like why you're doing this and this. But at the end of the day, like it's still hurting people. Right. And then Riley is like, well, like I'd rather be doing that than just be stuck in this base, like not doing anything, like not trying to progress anywhere. So it's a, you know, it's a, it was a smart way to kind of have them drive a wedge in between their friendship, because you really weren't going to find a way, right? Like there's no, they're going to be kids and then be like, oh, that's my best friend. Like I'm going to follow her to the end. Right. So them having this kind of different path and Riley having parents and knowing exactly what loss is and stuff like that, right, is what the determining factor is, because she's never, like, she knows what having a family's like. She didn't grow up in the LZ, right? So she had her family, even though it was for a little while, she knows what's happening, right? Like, she knows having that sense of feeling like she belongs, and she craves that again, right? And they have that whole argument where she's just like, you know, Ellie's like, nah, fuck this, like, this is not what I want, blah, 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 like, I'm gonna leave. Yeah. And then, you know, she storms out. And then, of course, she takes a sit back. She takes, you know, a couple steps back and is like, oh, I got to go back.
Real quick. This is the moment for the people that are scaredy cats like me, where my heart starts beating because I'm like, this is the tricky part of something's going wrong here. Mm. She's either going to go away and she gets attacked, or she's going to go through the door. She's going to get attacked. And then whenever I heard the screaming, I was like, if they're really about to turn the corner and I see the clicker just like eating her alive and Ellie has to run away, I'm like, that's some rough stuff right there.
Yeah.
So, so that's what I thought was going to happen. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah. So it plays that nice trick, right? Because now it's like, oh, well, because at this point, and this is why I said this episode was directed so well, because at this point, you know that we know there's a sense of danger, right? Like we've already seen it at this point, right? Like they haven't seen it. So anything you do, even in a joking manner, we're going to believe, like it's still going to be believed in our head, because like, duh, like we just saw that there's an infected in there. Like it's obviously could have just showed up, right? So, and then like you said, many things could go into your brain at this point. Like, are they going to, like, is Ellie going to go and save them, et cetera, et cetera. And like you said, you hadn't played the DLC. So like, you know,
I thought it was going to happen in the arcade. They're screaming and everything like that. Like every loud moment you're like, oh, they're going to get found.
So yeah. So like it was nice to play with that tension. Right. But before any of that happens, they go into the Halloween store. And Riley's there saying like, you know, she's sorry, basically. Ellie asked for the book, and then, you know, she really, Ellie really understands where Riley's coming from at that point, right? Like, she's like, I get it. Like, you know what I mean? I get where you're coming from. And then they do plays the music from the Walkman, and then they're jamming. And then that, the mask thing is directly pulled from the game. They take that, the whole mask thing where both of them wear a mask. All that stuff happens.
She's staring at her, Riley, with the wolf mask, though. It felt a bit creepy.
Well, yeah, well, they
like,
were dancing.
She's just standing there, like, just like staring.
That whole dance thing is they were doing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because Ellie's like wearing her mat, like wearing the mask, and she was like going around the store and stuff like that. But the scene that happens in, again, I could be wrong. I remember it being in a music store, not in a Halloween store, but the Halloween store thing does happen. Like it does, like they do put on masks, and I think it's a more of a pass-through part, but that this is how I'm remembering it. I played it in 2013, so like I haven't played that since then. So you know what I mean? But I didn't really check the like the back-to-back things, but I'm pretty sure I've got it where she like that happened in a music store. Because it makes sense where the, and then they kind of just combined all of that. And then we see the scene where basically like Ellie's like, you know what, like you're leaving, and you could see it in her face too, which is what Bella did like a fantastic job at, right? Like you could see it in like the desperation kind of thing where she's just like, well, like you're leaving, like what do I have to lose? Like at this point, like it's either you're going to be down or you're not, right? And she goes in for it. And yes, which is why this part, when Ellie, remember when she was walking in the beginning and they were asking her about like, you know, do you have a boyfriend or this and that? And she was kind of like, you know, questioning. She was like, you know what I mean? And yes, so this is back in 2013, people. So please don't even give me, like, don't get me started. Like, because I already know some people are going to already start. And I don't want to hear it. Like, don't do it. Okay. Don't start crying. Look, we don't want to hear it here. You already know. So this story was been written. So don't give us any of that. And even if it wasn't, that doesn't matter. Like, you know what I mean? So, they happen, they, you know, they share a kiss, it, and they both get rewarded by knowing that the other one felt the same way that they felt about each other, right? So, and then she says, you know, don't leave. Like, and then Riley's like, yeah, you know what I mean? Because they're in love, right? Like they found each other. Now they're going to try to figure out what's next. And of course, again, once we get our sweet, beautiful moment, what happens? A damn ripped infected. Away. Mm-hmm. Damn infected. She shoots. She misses too many times, okay? Too many times. Now, I know she can't get an immediate headshot because, you know what I mean? That would just deprive from the story. But come on, man. We got to hit these headshots, people. We got to. This is what happens when you don't hit the headshots. This is what happens. You got to hit the headshot. She missed. She hit the gut. It's not enough. These guys,
I can't wait for a Dead Space. I can't wait for a Dead Space show to happen because I know that's going to be.
Oh yeah, because it's going to be so dramatic. Like because he's well, I with a Dead Space show, just real quick, like you know they're instantly going to go for the head. Like they got to do a scene.
That's what I'm
like,
saying. It's going to be a scene. It's going to be the head, and it's going to stop.
Yeah.
And then the music's going to build. Yeah. It's like it just keeps going. I see it now perfectly.
Yeah. You can see it happening. So. Yeah, they do that fight with that infected, which I thought they did really well, right? Like, it was kind of like back and forth, and, you know, they're fighting, and then you're basically looking for when either of them are going to get bit, right? And they do a good job at not actually showing when any of it's going to happen. So you're kind of like, oh, did it happen? Like, you know what I mean? When Ellie, and I love that they did the Ellie stab, which is legit from the game. Like, the way she stabs the clicker is like, that's how she does it in the game, especially part one, because the younger Ellie was more of a leaner than she was in part two. So it was really cool to see that, but you could see the excitement. Like she's like, oh snap, like I did it. Like, you know what I mean? And which is how we felt. Anytime you killed someone, you're just like, oh snap, I did it. Like, and then of course she realized that she got bit, and that was
that emotion. Yeah. That like emotion. Of like it's the end and everything like that. I mean, I gotta say props to freaking, what's his name? Sam.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Kudos to Sam, because Sam deep inside knew that it like, you know, it wasn't, he wanted any kind of hope he could, but he went out like a champ, man. That's great. And then we see Ellie, you know, I get it though. She found a state of happiness. You know, she's been bullied and everything like that. And like we said, some good things happen to her and it gets ripped away and she throws a fit and that's it. And Riley, you see where she's just like, I totally thought Riley was going to blame herself. Be like, I shouldn't even brought you here. Like, it's my fault. Now we're both dead. And
that, you know. Well, the thing is with that is, and it is another real good point brought by, in the after show was that Ellie reacted as a person who was dealing with loss for the first time, right? She was angry. She didn't know how to express her emotions. It hadn't happened to her. This is her first genuine loss, right? This is the first person that she's been in love with that, you know what I mean? This is her first kiss. This is all of her first, right? And like all of that has now been taken away from her. At least that's what she thinks, right? In this moment, she's like, dang, like I finally got, like, you know, and it goes so much deeper, right? Because it's like, I finally confirmed basically my sexuality, right? I've confirmed that Riley also likes me, right? Like, this is my first kiss. This is the first person I'm, like, you know, in love with. All of that reassurance has happened for her, right? And then for now, it to literally be taken away, like, even getting her first kill, like, her first infected kill, because that's her first infected kill, right? So, like, she's has all of these firsts. She's played video games for the first time. All of these things has happened. She's never had loss before. This is her first loss, right? And she gets bit and she's like, you know, it's all genuine anger because she's like, I finally got everything I wanted. Like in this terrible apocalyptic world, I finally have everything. And now in a matter of second, like in a 3-minute fight, it has been all taken away. And Riley, on the other hand, has experienced loss before because she lost her parents. She's lost, you know what I mean? She's even the 3 weeks when she was gone, she was, you know, without Ellie. So like, you know what I mean? All of that plays into a factor. And that's why her emotion is more of a like, well, like I've experienced this before. Like I'm not angry about it, but like, you know, it's sad. It sucks. But like, I know how this feels. Like you may not know how it feels, but like, they're like, it's done. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I thought them having such a different contrast on how they dealt with it was great, but also just even the conversation at the end where Riley is just basically like, you know, we have three choices, right? Like, you know, we could do all these things. We can either like, you know, take the easy way out. We could, you know, let it ride, or we could just, you know, take our future, which is again pulled from the game too, where they just have that moment. And I thought it was awesome for them to like, you know, be holding hands, you know, pretty much accepting, hey, we're just going to stick this out. Like if we're dying, we're going to like, it's going to be poet, like, you know, Romeo and Juliet kind of thing. You know what I mean? But then where I thought we were going to see the end of that.
I was about to ask you if that happens in the game.
No.
Cause I was like, at the time I was like, I don't want to see her like them wake up and then she's turned and Ellie has to kill her or something like that. But at the same time, I kind of do.
Yes. You got to, you want to know what happens. So my thing is, I'm not going to say what happens, right? Because they might still show it.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? So like they might still show it. But I was taken aback just like everyone else. And I think, but honestly, when you watch it, the episode in totality, after it's done, it makes perfect sense why they did it that way. Right. Because when they snap back to Ellie, it's her realizing saying, oh, like Riley was like, you know what? We're not leaving each other behind. And she was like, nah, like, you know, she was like, I'm going to fight for you, Ellie, like to try to be with you. And even though this is not a, you know, obviously like a romantic thing, but she obviously loves Joel. Right. And she's like, no, I'm not going to let Joel die. Like we all go to the same place. Like I'm going to hold on to this person that I have for as long as I possibly can. Right. Like, so I'm not going to just stop fighting for Joel. Like, you know what I mean? Like I need to fight for Joel. So it was really cool for her to have the flashback for them to then throw it into her making her next decision, which was, I'm not going to leave. I'm going to try to find whatever I need to find to help Joel. And I thought when you watch the episode in total like that, it's really cool that they did that moment where, you know, because obviously in, you know, we watched an hour, but in her mind, it was probably like a quick flash of like, oh, snap. Like, no, I can't leave Joel by himself. Like, I have to do this. Like this is kind of the same situation. Like Riley and myself, we didn't leave each other behind. I'm not leaving Joel behind. She goes, she searches everything. She finds a needle and thread. And, you know, for the first time, she's going to do some stitches. And Joel, you can see even in his, you know, state where he's just like, oh, like she came back for me, like kind of thing. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And it was really heartwarming. Like it was a really tough episode, but then we end with such a heartwarming moment where it's just like, dang, like she did help him. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's really cool to just that chemistry build up. And even Pedro Pascal didn't even have that many lines in this episode. and he's just still fantastic. Like, it just, I don't get it. The guy is just, he's just great. So yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I got nothing else for it. So. You kind of set it off.
Yeah, but yeah, that's pretty much what it was, and it was just a fantastic episode to show off the DLC stuff. I definitely want to play it again, kind of just so I can give myself a refresher on it. But yeah, I mean, the episode again was just fantastic. They know what they're doing. They're able to hit all the feels, even the changes that they make. But they're good changes, right? Like, they're not changes that are like drastic from the story. And like I said, my main thing is just don't change the premise of the story, which they're not. Like, even with their changes, they're not changing what the premise of Last of Us is. And it's this story about two strangers who, you know, are basically looking for each other, right? Like, that's what they're looking for. And that's what they're like doing. And every episode comes a moment where they're building that relationship even more. And don't worry, episode 9 will rip your heart right out of your chest. So be prepared. But episode 8, we're going to have, it's going to be interesting.
Troy Baker. Yes,
so,
because he's been advertising it.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as that trailer posted, his picture has been everywhere. Yeah, they're I love him to death, but I can tell he's hyped.
He is excited. I mean, and again, you weren't able to play the role that you did, so I'm glad that they put him in there. So I didn't watch that pre-thing, but I'm pretty sure, like, I do follow Troy Baker, so I knew. I was like, oh. I was like, well, I guess I know what episode you're in now. So I'm hoping he comes to MegaCon. But we'll see. But yeah, he's... You know, episode eight's gonna be an interesting one, because I'm interested to see how long we go into that, because if episode 9's the last one, then that means, like, you know, the story that, like, we're ending part 1 in episode 9. So we're gonna see, episode 8 might be a long one for sure. An hour and 30 maybe. I wouldn't put it past it. Because the rumors is episode 9 is like only 45 minutes.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I'll take an hour and a half of Troy Baker. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fine.
I want to see those chops. Let's see the acting chops in real life, because that's what he wants to do. So,
He's got it. He's going to be fine.
Oh, 100%. I think
he's going to be fine. But yeah. Last thing before we head out, I did a lot of talking in this one. Chris, what did you think? What was your favorite part of the episode?
The walk up to the mall, the turning on the lights.
Yeah.
I just like that look and the camera settling down and you seeing everything.
And her eyes like being lit up like a kid. Lit up, Christmas, yeah.
Yeah. But that was my favorite part, man. These episodes are great. This one is on the same story beat of episode 3. Episode 3 was a full love story. This one was like adventure. Love story, and I like this one a lot more, because I probably smiled a lot more in this one, even though the ending was sad, but I wasn't as sad as the rest of the show so far. So it was a rough episode, but it was definitely a little bit more of a higher note.
Well, this one's easier to consume because you know it's a prequel. Like,
yeah.
You knew what was going to happen. Like, you know what I mean? Especially because you knew it was predated, so you already knew Ellie got bit somewhere. Right. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know that she's already survived that scenario. Whereas in a lot of the other episodes, even though we knew that whatever the ending was going to be bad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, for Sam and Henry, like, yeah, that episode was great. But we also knew what was going to happen. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we knew how sad that was going to be. And we didn't know, like, Bill episode, it ended on a beautiful note. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it did end where, you know, they got to die together happily, like, you know, not by the infected or anything
on their
like
own
that.
Means. They, yeah, they by went their out own their terms. Own means. Yeah,
so that, like, that's a beautiful story. But, like, we didn't know that that's how that was going to end, because it veered from the game. So, but this one, it was just like, well, we know Ellie survives, like, you know what I mean? Because she's here. Like, you know what I mean? But yeah. So yeah, my favorite part, I did the whole conversation, like, but to her, the friendship, which becomes a relationship for Riley and Ellie was my favorite part. And just seeing those two young women just act their, you know, their asses off. Like, you know what I mean? To hold such a, like, impactful scene, like, you know, episode. Just the two of them. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, with no real, like, support. It's just, like, I mean, Storm Reed is 19 and Bella's 19 also. Like, for them to just be holding down an episode like that, like, and show off all of this emotions of happiness and sad. And, you know, it's just a great thing to see when people, like, when you can see our younger generation just have the acting chops at such a young age. Like, imagine, like, I couldn't do that at 19 is what, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So just seeing them being able to, like, you know, flourish and just be awesome in these episodes. That was my favorite part by far. And yeah, and also check out their other work, because it's all great, really. They don't really do bad things. So, but yeah, that would be my favorite part. So that will wrap it up for us today, guys. It was a little bit longer of an episode. We will have some more content for you guys this week, because Mandalorian starts on March 1st. So, so that's on Wednesday. It's going to be a lot of, we're going to hit a lot of TV coming up here soon, because
I got to get a Pedro Pascal shirt. I'm sure there's one out
there. Yeah, it's the month of Pedro Pascal. I mean, and if you're, like, again, Jonathan Majors is going to be, it's both of their years. Like, it's 100%, because Creed comes out on Friday. So, like, it's just like, we just saw Ant-Man, and then it's a whole bunch of stuff. So, so we'll definitely have that for you guys. So be on the lookout for it. And of course, if you guys can, like, share, subscribe, do all that good stuff. It really helps us. Put a comment down. Let us know what you guys thought of the episode, because that really helps us also. So until we see you guys next time, I'm not sure when we're going to drop that episode of Mando, but I'm sure we're going to have it for you sometime this week. But just be on our lookout on our social medias for any updates. So until then, Fire Team out.